Welcome to this week's edition of Outdoors Online, a weekly webcast produced by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I'm your host, Mike Anderson. My guest this week is waterfowl biologist Mike Szymanski. Mike, you and your crews just finished your breeding duck surveys. Tell our viewers how you conduct the surveys and how you had to do things a little different this year with the COVID-19 virus.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. We were able to get our surveys done this year. We had pretty substantial changes to our survey protocol and how we dealt with logistics, but overall the methodology was the same. Typically we're surveying with a two-person crew in a vehicle, over 8 transects across the state, running about 1,820 miles with an observer and a data recorder. This year, for social distancing protocols, we put people in single observer scenarios. All of our folks are versed in observing ducks, understanding how the data is recorded. So instead of being able to call out the social groups of birds on the wetlands and the wetland types, the individual would have to make sure that they're pulled over way off the road and take that down themselves into either a paper data sheet or a data recording tablet, which most of our folks use. Real busy wetlands, they had to actually go through and record themselves calling out the ducks and the wetland types, and then go back and record that data with a playback, just because sometimes it's a little bit overwhelming. So that's kind of how we got around, the busy situations where, one might think, well, there's no way a person could get all the data taken down and find all the birds. So we're really confident in that our, changes in observers didn't affect anything data-wise. We try to keep people on the same general transects that they're used to running, but there were some minor adjustments just to keep driving distances down, because the other thing we did is we didn't want to have people having to stay in hotels or crashing at other people's houses out of town, things like that, relatives' houses, whatever it was. Just to avoid those transmissible moments. So we were trying to minimize the workload between kind of the duck load of how many birds and wetlands you have on your transect versus your deadhead driving distance. And we were able to do that pretty well, and our observers did a fantastic job, just doing what we had to do to get everything done. And our IT folks helped set us up with extra survey equipment. Our biologists help round up extra safety equipment that we use for surveying along the road. So everything worked out great as far as that was all concerned. So then after we had all the data turned in by observers, we had a fair bit of other back-end work that was fairly substantial as well with organizing the data. We had twice as many data sets coming in than normal. And then to make the data comparable, we also had to accommodate the logistics of driving distances and workloads for folks, we did some subsampling, which has never been done before on this survey. So instead of running 1,820 miles, we ran just under 1,300 miles. And to make that work, we had to go back and resample all the 2019 data for comparable segments that we sample. We typically run these 18-mile segments. So we had to identify all those, pull those out, make the comparisons, and then generate effect sizes to come up with our numbers. So it was it's been a fair bit of work on that end too, to get the data to work out for a long-term data set. And when you're working with a 73-year data set, you want to make sure that you're really doing that right.
So that's the first time in 73 years that you've had to change your ways.
This is the 73rd year we've run the survey, and this is the first time we've had to break from our normal 8 transects and 18-mile segments within that we normally run.
Mike, how often do you guys do waterfowl surveys?
So we do our May breeding waterfowl survey once a year. We have a weekly test run survey in the central part of the state that helps gauge migration phenology, which is really important for the various duck species we have, because we have early nesters and late nesters. So as we're doing our survey, if we get a big blip, we want to look at how that migration phenology worked out for some of those species, especially something like blue-winged teal, where you can get a very big pulse in your data and you want to understand where you were with migration when that happened. We also have a July production survey where we count duck broods. And then in the fall, we do a wetland survey so that we kind of get that last look going into hunting season to see how things can go. Because as we've seen time and time again, things can change a lot between spring and fall, either getting very much wetter or very much drier. And that was another big consideration in how we figured out our sampling frame for our May survey, was making sure that we sampled our overlap between our fall wetland survey so that we would have that comparable data when we do that this fall. And that's also a single observer survey. So a lot of things to factor into how it all went this year. But yeah, we take kind of an annual cycle of annual surveys, I guess, to get a look. And that kind of concludes with our midwinter waterfowl survey that we do the first week of January.
Okay, North Dakota produces a lot of ducks. These surveys are important to waterfowl management.
Yeah, our survey doesn't get used in the regulation setting process, but over time it's been used occasionally kind of as double checks on trends with some species. Blue-winged teal sometimes when they're on the edge, both our May survey and our test run survey, seeing how those numbers pair up. But it's a huge communications tool because we get the data right away. We can start talking with our hunters about it. It helps us as an agency understand what's going on with habitat conditions in our state right away. We have the longest term data set of anybody. The 73-year data set's the longest running breeding waterfowl survey in the world. So it's a really important survey to make sure that we keep running and intact and in good shape, basically.
Mike, let's talk habitat. Obviously, ducks need water. How are our wetlands holding up?
Wetlands are holding up pretty good. You know, we had a lot of rain last fall, extremely unusual amounts of rain even, but we've really started drying up since then. So our wetland conditions in the western part of the state, basically the western half, pretty much everything west of Highway 41, are starting to dry up a fair bit. Southwest part of the state's getting really quite dry. So we're probably in that fair to good range yet. That, you know, how that pans out for brood habitat will depend a lot on rainfall now. The western part of the state's even starting to get into that sort of dry drought condition state because lack of snowfall, and they just didn't have as much rain last fall as well, late summer and early fall. Eastern half of North Dakota is still incredibly wet. And, you know, folks in general, I think, need things to dry up. Wetland conditions are really good for ducks. And there's some areas with impaired habitat as far as lack of upland nesting cover and, you know, some impaired wetland conditions that are just so wet right now that, you know, they're going to produce ducks just because there's a lot of oddball areas and flooded places where predators can't get to, an emergent wetland habitat that usually isn't there. But, you know, that's one of those deals where you don't want to have to encumber the world just to produce a few ducks. You know, it's better to have good functioning upland habitat, good functioning wetland habitat, and you can produce ducks in most years without having to flood the world out.
What did you guys find out during the breeding duck survey this year?
Well, as most people can imagine, we found really good wetland conditions. I believe our wetland index is going to be the sixth highest on record and our highest since 2014. And that's, to me, really surprising because that's even with having a little bit drier conditions in the western half of the state. You know, southwest is pretty dry. The northwest part of the state's probably still fair to good. And then everything in the eastern half of the state is probably very good to excellent condition. So that's really good for attracting ducks and bodes well for duck production in North Dakota. Our overall duck numbers are right around 4 million, and that's an important number. Our 13 highest duck counts on record are all above 4 million. And when you start getting into that range, you're talking about very, very good duck numbers. You get above 3 million, that's really good. And that's where we've been kind of falling behind the last few years. We were below 3 million breeding ducks in the state the last couple years. Last year, we kind of poked up above that a little bit. This year, we're back up to about 4 million. So that's really encouraging, really, really good breeding duck numbers in the state. Eastern part of the state's got a strong showing there as well. The mallard numbers are fairly comparable to last year. Same thing with pintail. Our other more abundant dabbling ducks, gadwall and shovelers, are up about 10%. But blue-winged teal are up 60 to 65%. That's a pretty huge increase. We're still, you know, not in anywhere close to being on a record for those birds, but certainly over a million breeding blue wings in the state. And that's an indication of habitat quality. They're pretty nomadic birds. They find the wettest areas to nest in. And I'm sure that South Dakota stopped a lot of that because, stopped a lot of those birds from getting to North Dakota as well, because they've got extremely wet conditions in eastern South Dakota. So seeing those numbers go up is encouraging. And also our diving duck numbers went up quite a bit as well, with gammasbacks going up about 25%, scop about 40%, 42%, and ruddy ducks were up quite a bit as well. Redheads were similar to last year, maybe 10% down, 9% down, something like that.
Mike, you say 4 million is a good number for ducks. How does that compare to recent years?
In recent years, you know, we talked more about like the last 26 years, really since it started getting wet in the mid-90s. It's sort of the new normal we're living in for waterfowl habitats in the state, and for many other things as well, wildlife related, or even fishing related. But our duck numbers are kind of middle of the road for the last 26 years. Same with the mallard numbers. So that's good. I mean, that's our best time series. All of our record numbers are within the last 26 years. Those 13 highest duck counts are all in the last 26 years. And we're right in the middle of the road of that kind of new normal. So I think we're doing good, and being right around 4 million is a very good sign for breeding ducks in North Dakota.
A lot of great information, Mike. Thank you.
You bet.
For more information on the breeding duck surveys or any waterfowl surveys in North Dakota, visit the Game and Fish Department's website at gf.nd.gov. For waterfowl biologist Mike Szymanski and the rest of the staff here at the Game and Fish Department, thanks for joining us for this week's Outdoors Online. We'll see you again next week.